Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Ken Rolla, who we were discussing a few weeks ago, emotional healing and breaking free of limiting and self-destructive programming. This can be found on the archives at bbsradio.com and www.plasticos.com under Resources and Radio. And Ken has been interviewed on a couple of other topics, including removing radioactivity and some information on scalar energy and protecting yourself in an electromagnetic environment that may not be great for your health. Welcome, Ken. Thanks for getting back on the radio with us.
Oh, my pleasure, always.
So I guess we can finish up. We were talking a little bit about problems with emotional healing and how it can, with the idea of downward causation, go into the physical body and cause physical illness. Would you like to just recap what we were talking about and what some of the things that people can do to prevent this from happening?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where we left off. I didn't have the chance to review our previous show, but there are several different things that can cause emotional imbalances, but ultimately it all goes back to trauma. When you look at the root cause of physical mm-hmm. and emotional imbalances, it goes back to physical or emotional trauma. And so there are ways of releasing trauma and various techniques that people can use, therapies and things, to release that. And when you encounter trauma, physical or emotional, what happens is it makes the right and left brain hemisphere functions separate. And it's a safety mechanism of the mind to isolate the trauma from the conscious mind, and it pushes it into the unconscious mind as a safety mechanism, particularly if it's something really horrific. It's the mind's way of dealing with it to mm-hmm. keep you from going totally insane. And so small traumas, large traumas, they accumulate over time, and they get, you know, stuck in the unconscious mind. They also get stuck physically in the body, and neuropeptides, which are chemicals that get stored into cell receptor sites and provide an immediate emotional reaction or a physical reaction, depending on the type of trauma, that's a safety mechanism to prevent you from experiencing further trauma. So, for example, if you burn yourself on a stove as a child, you get the cellular memory of that locked into the physical body so that you remember not to avoid hot objects. And so mm-hmm. that kind of trauma can accumulate chemically in the body as well. And so you get this accumulation of trauma in the mind, in the cells, and then that affects our feelings around various things that we've encountered, and that affects mm-hmm. our behaviors and our beliefs. And so this kind of cascade of, you know, trauma affecting the feelings, affecting the beliefs, affecting one's actions. And so most people are not living their lives consciously and consciously creating their reality. They're simply reacting to stimuli and avoiding more trauma. And so we can release the trauma and change the behavior, and then, you know, you become physically healthier, also physically happier, and there are various techniques for doing that, which we can get into. So that's kind of in a nutshell, you know,
sure.
how this
and like
stuff starts.
A phobia, for example, a phobia often, like if somebody has a fear of heights or a fear of claustrophobia, often that will stem from a previous life.
Exactly. It can come from previous lifetimes.
It would be like a really bad phobia that you've had since you were a child, say a claustrophobia. A lot of people were buried alive by mistake in the past because
right.
medicine wasn't up to speed to determine that they really weren't dead. So that would explain that. So how would you just say if you had a phobia, a major phobia, without any particular history of it in this life, how would you go about releasing that?
Well, I have firsthand experience with that because early in my life I had a fear of being locked up and declared crazy. And it didn't have anything to do with this lifetime, and certainly not at that time of my life, because, you know, this is in my 20s, well before I was ever doing anything controversial or teaching natural health. I was just a computer programmer.
Yeah.
You know, so there was no reason in this lifetime that I should be afraid of being locked up and declared crazy.
Right.
And through doing past life regressions and, you know, interacting with psychics and various things, I found out that it was in actually several previous lifetimes where I had been teaching people how to empower themselves in ways that the powers that be didn't like. And so I would get declared a heretic or whatever and then thrown in jail or a dungeon and locked away.
Right.
And so so that trauma, you know, passed on through consciousness. Because I've actually had my own experience with the idea that that our consciousness doesn't cease to exist when we die. Because I was in a motorcycle wreck when I was in my early 20s, and I actually died on the road and left my body. And, and that gave me a personal realization that our body is a container for our consciousness, and our consciousness continues on. But at any rate, you know, we do, we do carry these memories of trauma from lifetime to lifetime unless we clear it. And so that set me on a path of seeking out methods for clearing it, which I did. And you can tell when you've really cleared that stuff because, you know, there would be things like movies or events that would trigger the memory of that and create fear in me immediately. And once I dealt with it and cleared it, that no longer was the case. And so that's one of the ways you can tell that you've actually dealt with it. And so I've been teaching for many years people how to do trauma release in various ways and therapies and things they can practice and do to release trauma and change their programming and you know, live consciously and consciously create the reality rather than just reacting by default.
Why don't you go ahead and give
your
website? Yeah, why don't you go ahead and give your contact information now, because there's a huge amount of information on your website that people may want to take a look at while we do this interview.
Okay. Yeah, my main website is freshandalive.com, and that's primarily where I sell products and have some information, you know, relating to the products. My blog, which is where I do most of my teaching and talking, is on freshandaliveblog.com. And then I'm on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and search on Fresh and Alive, you'll find it there, or it's linked to on my website. And I'm also on Facebook. I post a lot of stuff on Facebook as well.
So people who had would want to reach out to you to do some of this clearing work could do so through your blog or Facebook, either one of
Well,
those?
They can contact me through my through freshandalive.com. And I have been too busy since 2012 to do individual consults anymore, so I don't do consults. But I can refer people to practitioners, and we can, you know, discuss various practitioners and therapies and practices that people can do to release trauma and to live consciously. But on the services page at freshandalive.com, there are some practitioners there, including a lady named Lori Bengston, who's an amazing healer who can work remotely over the phone. She does a practice called the Emotion Code, which was developed by I think Dr. Bradley Nelson, and I think she surpassed him. She's very gifted. She's very intuitive, and she can. She, basically, what she does is have you muscle test yourself while she's asking you certain questions. And then zeroes in on what's really locked into the unconscious mind that needs to be released and in the body. And then she uses a technique of running a magnet up and down the spine while she has you do affirmations to clear it. Concept being that the memory of trauma physically stored in the cells is stored there magnetically. And so when you run a magnet over the spine, which is the main trunk of the nervous system, that will clear the memories of trauma while you're doing these affirmations. And I can tell you from my own experience that really works, because I had Lori work on all of my staff and me and my wife, and everyone was very grateful for their experience with it. And in my case, I was the last one to get her service because my staff had taken the whole day with it, so I only got a half an hour with her. But let me tell you, man, that half an hour, when I got done, I didn't feel any different. I thought, no, well, well. But the next day, I started having massive physical cleanse reactions, and I was out of work for 5 days, just totally wiped out and exhausted, and just dumping tons of toxins in my urine and stuff. And so after 5 days, I finally had enough energy to call her up, and I was like, what the heck? And she laughed, and she said, yeah, I figured it'd be about 5 days. So, but it was really shifted me very deeply, and so that's a great thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that a lot of interpersonal and relationship problems stem from people triggering this sort of thing in each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some, like, real crazy stuff that happens in relationships that somebody is, without knowing it, triggering something in someone close to them, and then they just have a meltdown or, you know, just completely do things that aren't in their best interest. So this
is
very common that it messes up interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, and I think in my experience is that most people, if not everybody, attracts the people in their lives to perfectly trigger them to make them
<There you go.
laughs> you know, deal with it and grow. I mean,
that's what
marriage
and kids
is all about.
Yeah,
but
that's how your significant other can give you the look, and the look that triggers everything, you know.
That's it.
And it's just
the
look.
My wife
there's
and
nothing
I both
else.
Discovered. Yeah, my wife and I both discovered that, you know, the triggers that we were triggering each other with, they all went back to our childhood, and they all went back to usually just a small handful of the same things. And so we wound up, one of the techniques that I recommend for people to do emotional clearing and reprogramming is doing landmark education. And they have some phenomenal classes in personal development. And so we did a bunch of their classes, but the forum is the initial class that you take that's all about healing and dealing with yourself. And what we discovered was that all of these things that we had issues with outside of ourselves actually all went back to a few, like three or four traumas from our childhood that and they teach this in Landmark, actually, that that your life is basically a bunch of stories that you've convinced yourself of. And so you encounter these experiences, and then you base your understanding and beliefs around reality on those experiences early on in your life, and particularly traumatic ones. And so then that will kind of program your beliefs and your behavior around that stuff. And then you basically walk around believing in this reality that you've made up in your mind that's based on those experiences rather than how things actually are. So Landmark teaches you techniques for releasing that and then stepping back and looking at any time you encounter a new issue or trauma, looking at what's really going on as opposed to what you're interpreting is going on.
Right.
And when you become honest with the nature of what's going on, then you can see that it's never that other person or thing to be blamed. It always has to do with your interpretation of it. And the more that you release trauma, the more that you can see things clearly and not have them trigger you and affect you. And so in the case of my wife and I, you know, when we identified these trauma events that were early in our life, and then we used these landmark techniques to trace back when we would encounter an upset in our current life, and not necessarily between each other, it could be anything, you know, but when we would get upset about something, we would use these techniques to trace it back to where it was really coming from. And in every case, it always went back to these same handful of traumas. And when you start to do that, what happens is, like, the first time I did that, it took me about an hour and 15 minutes to trace it back and figure out where the issue was really coming from. And then the second time I had an upset, it took about 30 minutes to figure it out. Third time, it took about 10 minutes. And then after that, I knew it was always going back to these same three or four traumas. And so it circumvented it before it would even get started, you know. It's like I'd start to get angry about something and realize, like, oh, well, I know where this is coming from, so there's no point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you can be freed of this reactive unconscious mode of operating. And when you do that, then life becomes very joyful and magical and fun again.
Right. Yeah, and you don't have the crazy stuff in your interpersonal relationships that you try to figure out what the hell happened, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, and there are other things that you know, I've learned along the way as well to practice to maintain a happy, uplifting life, and also to release trauma as they come along. But generally, when you release past traumas from this lifetime or others, then what winds up happening is you don't need the lessons to release it, and so you wind up not attracting it so much.
Right.
And you know, even what so-called accidents, we've been taught to, we've basically been programmed by society and by the powers that be to believe in victimhood and that it's somebody or something else outside of us that's creating things, and even accidents are just random acts of the universe or whatever. But in reality, we attract even accidents. And so when we take responsibility for that and look at who we are being that's creating that, if we take full responsibility for creating our reality, and when things aren't going well, nobody questions when things are going great, but when things aren't going well, if you look at who you are being that's creating that. I used to ask myself, why am I creating this? I was aware of the concept that we create a reality, but I would ask myself, why am I creating this? And I eventually came to realize that's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, who am I being that's creating it? Because you can change your being. You may not be able to change the circumstances of why things are happening, but you can change who you are being. And so I found that when I changed who I was being, then those kinds of issues went away. And so there are specific techniques for doing that. A very simple one is simply to practice gratitude. And that's a very relativistic thing, because a lot of people will think, what have I got to be grateful for? My job sucks. I'm broke. Things aren't going well in my life. What have I got to be grateful for? Until you go and meet somebody who's
grateful,
got no
you don't
arms
have
and
a
legs.
Chronic pain condition.
Exactly.
There's always something worse.
24/7. What have I got to be grateful for? And it's like, well, at least you've got your arms and legs.
That's
I've
right.
Seen people,
or you're not blind,
Right, exactly. Yeah. It could always be worse. And so practicing gratitude goes a long way toward how you interpret your reality and how severe it seems to you. And the more that you practice gratitude, the less that you get smacked upside the head by the universe. Also, surrounding yourself with beauty is very important. If you're living in a messy, cluttered life surrounded by ugly things and ugly people, well, that's just going to affect your psyche and pull you down into that. And so it's very important to surround yourself with nature and beauty and art and loving, uplifting people. If you're around caustic people, you need to change your set of friends.
And the other thing is that not everything that happens to you is really what it appears to be on the outside.
Right.
So you have to ask the meaning of it. And
what
I've had some things happen to me that would on the surface appear to be very bad things, but in actuality they're very good things. And I wouldn't know that if I assumed the role of a victim, which I don't. I ask, what does this do? Why is this happening? And then the answer is pretty amazing, actually. The universe is giving, not is using me to teach others lessons that it's like it's not my lesson, it's their lesson, and I'm just participating, but I'm gonna be like totally fine, so it's not anything that I need to worry about. But on the surface it would appear that that I'm the victim, but I'm not the victim. I don't feel like the victim.
Exactly.
So you do have to ask, and you do have to seek information. There's always a much bigger picture that is way outside your personal life. There's always a lot more going on than is obvious from your personal perspective.
precisely.
And if you don't ask, you won't be told about it, you know.
Right, right. And you know, we create our own mountains to climb. You know, if we really do create our own realities, then why do we create these difficulties? Well, it's really based on people's beliefs. You don't have to create really difficult extremes to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. But many people believe that, and so they do.
Right,
some people create cliffhangers that they've got to climb, and other people create gentle hills that they can walk up as a challenge. So it depends on our beliefs. But
the level of boredom. I mean, a lot of times I find myself getting bored, and so I create stuff in my life that's exciting.
Yeah.
And I know I do that. I really do.
We all do. We all do.
Yeah.
You know, when I was doing consults with people, you know, I would always get people with, you know, very serious cancers and things like that, life-threatening diseases. Mm-hmm. And I would tell them, it's like, well, if you do these things and you get better, then you will have a much more uplifting life. You'll learn a completely different way of operating than you have been. It's much more uplifting, and chances are you'll want to share it with people and enhance humanity from your own experience. And you know, people would come back to me maybe a year later after they'd healed themselves and say, I can't believe, you know, that what I'm doing now, and I can't believe how much I enjoy my life, and I can't believe that I'm actually enjoying eating sprouts and algae and stuff.
Right.
And so it's really about living in alignment with nature and how the universe works. And the more that we understand the nature of our reality and how things work, the easier life can be, you know, if we live in alignment with that. And, of course, we humans on this planet have been mind-controlled and misdirected for thousands of years into belief systems that are not in alignment with the nature of reality, but they're in alignment with the powers that be using us and feeding off of us. And so, you know, this is why, fortunately, because of the Internet and the awakening of consciousness, people increasingly are snapping out of this and breaking their programming and becoming more conscious and aware. And the great thing is we've got better tools than ever for doing all of that and more knowledge about how to do it than ever. It's just a matter of people becoming aware enough to know that there is a solution to their issues and to look for them. And ultimately, if they start looking for them, they will find them, because consciousness creates reality. The moment you start looking for solutions instead of being in victimhood, then you will find them. You'll attract them ultimately.
And if the Internet is to be believed, you know, they have over 4,000 indictments, 1,000 arrests, and more on the way. So we're rapidly shifting away from being the victims of the powers that be, which was a scenario for many, many years, you know, and people that were whistleblowers. Many of the people I've interviewed on this radio show who were whistleblowers, yourself included, have had, encounters and, bad threats and all sorts of things, even assassination attempts. So we're moving out of that realm of reality and into one where we can really probably start to clean up the environment and educate people and get some of the, you know, the dangerous things out of the environment.
Very, very true. And, you know, I see the change all around me. I know, like, on December 22nd, Trump he released an executive order sanctioning anyone involved in human rights abuses or corruption in government, which is pretty much everybody in charge on this planet.
The 4,000 indictments, you know.
Yeah, and then a week
he
later
took away their money is what he did. Yeah, he took
right,
away the money.
Right, exactly.
Froze their
exactly,
accounts.
Capturing their money and taking their money away, which takes away their power. And then also a week later, he released another executive order sanctioning human slavery, sex slavery, and human trafficking. And so I see that as preparation for these mass arrests that people have been predicting. And, of course, there have been arrests going on. More visible arrests, I would say.
Anybody who's wearing a medical boot is probably and is a public figure is probably hiding an ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
you can look at that. That's probably true.
Exactly. So I'm very optimistic about all of that, and I also just see people waking up more as well.
Yeah, I think that some people will be in shock when all of this comes out. I mean, it's you and I have been in it for years, and we've been, you know, talking with people in the know and getting it piece by piece. But you know, when it comes out, it's going to be pretty unbelievable that we were living in the world we were living in.
Yeah, it will be. The people that are trying to hang on to the old paradigm are the ones that are going to be suffering the most, and have been all along. You know, the folks who wake up and start taking responsibility for themselves and desiring to create their reality consciously, even if they don't know exactly how, but if they have that desire, at least that they're coming along where it's not going to be such a shock. But the folks who are just desperately hanging on to the old paradigm, they're going to be in for a rude, and have been in for a rude awakening. I mean, all these folks I see, because they're hanging on the old paradigms and eating GMO food and those kinds of things, they're suffering immensely, emotionally and physically, and it's forcing them to wake up, because the energies coming onto the planet they're affecting consciousness, and they are making people wake up. And so you can either do it kicking and screaming, or you can do it progressively and with ease.
Now, one of the things that you've done when you were working with all these people ill from cancer, autism, AIDS, Morgellons, Alzheimer's, all the other intracellular infections, and many of those being tied to the environment, of course, you were working with Ormus Minerals and Ormus Homeopathics. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, these are very interesting new forms of supplements that are so different that people aren't recognizing what they are. Fortunately, the powers that be, like the FDA, aren't recognizing what they are either, and so they haven't really tried to clamp down on them yet.
That's good.
he says.
Maybe the FDA will get cleaned out along with the rest of it, and we can actually.
I think they are, you know, in so many ways.
Have some things come through that will be helpful and not harmful.
Yeah, and their budget's being slashed and all kinds of things. So I think that, you're going to see these agencies radically change, if not disappear completely. These Ormus, what I call Ormus Homeopathics, are basically water with these very special superconducting minerals dissolved in them, known as monoatomic elements or Ormes elements, which Ormus is an acronym for orbitally rearranged monoatomic elements. And that's an acronym that was coined by a man named David Hudson, who rediscovered them in recent years in the United States. They've been known about for thousands of years on Earth, and people have written about them and taught about them. And what they are, basically, are certain minerals on the periodic chart, certain elements, the platinum group metals, and gold, and silver, mercury, and copper, and a few others, iodine. They can exist in a state where they are individual atoms not connected to each other, which according to conventional science is impossible for them to exist that way in a natural state. Because metal atoms have a very strong charge normally, and they want to bind to each other very, very strongly and create these three-dimensional grid patterns in their what's called their crystal lattice. And But you can send these particular minerals or these elements through processes like photosynthesis or vortexing them in water and magnetic fields or fermentation, and they will break down into individual atoms of the element. And when they're in that form, they become superconductors, meaning that they conduct electricity with zero resistance. They're anti-gravitational. They're actually multidimensional. They're not just regular physical matter. They are like this metamatter that exists simultaneously in multiple dimensions or frequencies of time and space. And so they connect non-physical reality with the physical world and our physical bodies. These elements exist inside of our bodies, and they collect in little junctures all along the nervous system that the Chinese call the acupuncture meridians. In Ayurveda, they call it the nadis, They're also in the brain neural pathways, and they're in the DNA. So the DNA is loaded with these superconducting elements, and the DNA is actually a superconducting antenna that acts as an interface between consciousness and the physical structure. We've been right. taught that the genetic blueprint is in the DNA, but the DNA is actually an antenna that picks up the root blueprint from the consciousness of the organism itself and conveys it into right. the physical body. And so when you have DNA damage and mutation from things like radiation and genetically modified food and those kinds of things, you can heal the DNA because the original blueprint is in the consciousness of the organism. And the way that you do that is by feeding the organism, whether it's plants or animals or humans or microbes or whatever, you feed them these monoatomic elements, and they will plug into the DNA and into the meridians and the brain neural pathways and enhance the mind-body connection and the flow of the consciousness energy in and out of the body and the physical structure, and that will unwind the DNA back to its original form. And I've seen this done actually with plants, where you can feed volcanic rock powders, which are high in these monoatomics, combine them with microbes, which will break the rock powders down into the monoatomic elements, make them bioavailable to the plants. The plants will uptake them. And if they're GMO, they will actually, the DNA will revert in a few weeks, and the plant will physically change back to the original heirloom. And that's pretty mind-blowing.
That's great.
Yeah, and we can do the same thing. I mean, we can ingest these monoatomics and, mm-hmm. and do this. So these Ormus homeopathics take these monoatomic elements dissolved in water, and mm-hmm. they can be programmed with frequency. And so you can use scalar waves, which is simply superluminal light. There are certain types of devices, and actually human consciousness is a form of scalar waves. But scalar waves are the superluminal light, and there are devices like quantum biofeedback devices and other things that can output scalar frequencies very specifically. So you can, for example, put monoatomic gold into water and program it with the scalar antifrequencies of all known radioactive elements, and the gold will program, it'll hold the frequencies and then rebroadcast the scalar frequencies of those anti-frequencies of radioactivity. And then if you ingest it, it will neutralize radioactivity in the body. And in fact, mm-hmm. there is a supplement that does exactly that, and it was going under the name of Rad Detox. The formulators have gotten into a dispute over the formula, and so right now we don't have it available on our website, but it will be coming back out probably under a different name in the future.
I think we still have a few bottles of it if people want to order it. So.
Okay, yeah.
Because we bought some from you.
Yeah, and so this is the new frontier, because scalar waves create an alter matter. This whole three-dimensional physical universe that we're in is mm-hmm. created by these scalar waves that are zipping through the cosmos, slowing down and coagulating into physical matter. And so when you understand that, and you understand that scalar waves create matter and they can alter matter, then you can use them to restructure matter and heal, for example, in the body. And actually, the body is designed naturally to do this. You don't even have to do anything special, although you can use scalar devices to accelerate it. Dr. Thomas Bearden, who was a NASA nuclear engineer and one of the preeminent scalar physicists in the world, was studying human cells to develop a method for neutralizing radioactivity. And what he discovered was that human cells will send a scalar wave signal through the monoatomic elements in the cells into the past, and it will actually travel through time and go into the past and get the pattern for the healthy cell from the past and bring it into the mm-hmm. present, to have a pattern to recreate healthy cells. And so by increasing the amount of these monoatomics in the body, this will enhance the body's natural ability to regenerate cells.
Right. Yeah, I think I went through a period where I was doing monoatomics, and then, of course, I did Red Detox as well when I learned about it. And I think they're both extremely important for clearing out the radiation, and as well as the other particular toxins, I think, certain toxins are cleared out by the monoatomics and probably not by much else.
Right.
In my opinion. I mean,
very
for
true.
Me, personally.
Very true. Yeah, because ultimately everything, all matter, is made of energy. When you look at the subatomic structure of it all, it's mm-hmm. energy. And it's just continually coagulating or slowing down and turning into physical matter. And so if you affect that energetic at the subatomic level, you can restructure the matter and heal things. And so there mm-hmm. are certain, particularly man-made toxins, radioactivity, genetically engineered food and microbes and things mm-hmm. that respond much better when you're working on them at that subatomic energetic level and restructuring them.
I just think it's fascinating that I went through a period of time when I was guided to do these things, and I had no idea why, and now you're explaining why I did it. So it's great.
Yeah, that's it. I have been very guided in my work, and I have a background in engineering, so when you're talking about healing and stuff, I have a different perspective because of my engineering programming. But most mm-hmm. of my engineering programming I had to unlearn and relearn anyway, because it was mostly wrong. What I was taught in school was mostly wrong. And so, I feel an obligation to share what I've learned, and it works. I mean, the bottom line is the only thing that really matters is what results we get. And so I focus on developing methods that actually work and get results. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if people are willing to keep an open mind and just do the stuff, then they'll see the results. And like I say, when I was doing consults, it never failed that people would always, you know, some of this stuff would sound really far out, but they would come back, you know, later and just be like, I can't believe this worked, but it did.
Yeah. Well, essentially, you know, scalar energy being multidimensional, any way you can access that, and that's what I think a lot of your different products and different techniques are doing, is just bringing scalar energy in. And one of the things, I studied spontaneous remission for a while, and I figured out that spontaneous remission was scalar energy that entered the crown, went through to the feet, and kicked a fourth dimensional energy, which was cancer, out of the body instantaneously, or almost instantaneously. And just the time it took that energy to go from the crown to the feet, then they had no more metastatic disease. So that explains that scalar energy has to be fifth dimensional. Cancer energy has to be fourth dimensional. And
yes.
That basically everything I see you're doing is really enhancing scalar energy. And scalar energy has that blueprint that you just talked about with Bearden to bring the blueprint back into. So no matter what the damage is, it doesn't matter. That's why, you know, all the scientific reports of spontaneous remission are so hard to believe. Like a completely defective femur, you know, with all these bone abnormalities, after this spontaneous remission, there's a perfectly normal femur in its place. Now, that just would blow your mind if you're third dimensional. I mean,
right.
How could that be?
When you're based in conventional science, too, there's no basis or foundation
for
that.
There's no basis
occurring.
For that. You can't understand it. But these
exactly.
are the miracles. You know, when people went to Lourdes, and there must have been a way of getting scalar energy in through that water into the body, that had to be what Lourdes was, then these miracles occurred because you were opening up the gates for the scalar energy to come in.
Right. And it, you know, when we talk about this stuff, it may sound like a bunch of conjecture, but the reality is, or that these occurrences are random, but the reality is you can reproduce these types of occurrences over and over and over again. And I'll give you two examples.
Right.
Dr. Art Martin out in Sacramento, California, for folks that want to look him up, his website is energymedicineinstitute.com. He developed a technique that basically he can work on the mind, and he does a very specific form of muscle testing while he's asking you questions, and he kind of like what Laurie Bankston does, and he can zoom in on what's really going on in the unconscious mind, and then he'll mm-hmm. do trigger point therapy, which is a an energetic technique where he basically touches somewhere on your back and somewhere on your legs, finds these trigger points where memory of trauma is locked in, and he'll release it energetically. And then he'll do affirmations with you while he's doing trigger point therapy on you and release all this energetic in the body. And he has had amazing cases of people healing cancer, like, you know, major stage 4 cancers and stuff in a few hours on several occasions. And I've seen him on a couple of occasions work on people for a couple of hours and allow them to get rid of their glasses where their vision returned back to normal. And many healing examples like that. There's also some folks in Florida. Dr. Ed Carlson developed a technique he calls Core Health, and their website is corehealth.us. And you can look at the testimonials page there, and they've got people who had brain cancer healed in a few hours just by doing this mind work. And so this is the ability that consciousness has. Because it's scalar energy, and because scalar energy can create alter matter, you can heal things very, very quickly if you do the right things, align the conscious and unconscious minds up behind the belief, first of all, that it's possible, and then do the right things to release it and resolve the issues of why it was created in the first place. Then it will, within a very short period of time, be healed.
Well, that's I think all of this is just evidence that what you've been saying, what Tom Bearden showed with his work, and what these healers are doing individually, proving it when things change in very short periods of time that would defy science, so to speak, the regular science, that we really need to explore all of this. And with the powers that be out of the way, I think that that's going to be possible. I think we'll have a rapid growth of scientific exploration into these areas.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. I just was informed that Martin Luther King III, who I worked with several years ago, is involved in a free energy project, and he and a bunch of other people are going to be working on bringing free energy technology out onto the market. So when you've got that kind of clout behind this kind of stuff, you know, it's definitely change is coming.
Yeah, I mean, before with free energy, anybody that actually got anywhere with free energy either ended up with their thing being taken away from them or dead, depending on how much they resisted. I know that you worked with some people that had these experiences. So, but free energy will change. We won't need to work as hard if we have free energy. I mean, we won't need to work a 5-day work week.
Exactly. And, you know, I find it very, very interesting that Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Richard Branson, among others, are now coming out saying that because of automation and robotics that we're going to need to create a basic income for people and just give them money, basically, for all the jobs are displaced. And the fact that Bill Gates is involved in that makes me very leery of what they have in mind.
Right.
But
Mr. Vaccine.
But it's true. We don't need money, and we don't need to have to work like slaves the way we do. That's just the paradigm that's been created on this planet. Michael Tellinger has started a movement he calls Ubuntu, which is modeling after how African tribes work together and collaborate and contribute to each other, and everybody gets what they need, and there's no money involved. So, and, you know, when you look at extraterrestrials, there are bound to be advanced civilizations out there that don't have money and don't need money because they don't have this mind-controlled, warlike population. And so I think that paradigm is changing. You look at the advent of cryptocurrencies, and even though the NSA and other governments are desperately trying to get involved and control that paradigm and control the encryption and stuff, the concept of a cryptocurrency basically bypasses these centralized banks and financial institutions so that people like us can do business between each other directly without needing an intermediary charging us and feeding off of us through the interest system.
Right.
And so even though that's right now in its infancy and is not really viable as an actual currency, people are really using most of these cryptocurrencies right now as investments, kind of like stocks.
Yeah,
like Bitcoin,
I think that my personal opinion is that there's going to be some sort of a security issue that's pretty severe with cryptocurrencies, and once they get past that and get that fixed, that probably cryptocurrencies will be very viable.
Yeah, there are a lot of technical hurdles.
But I mean, I don't know what you've heard, but I've heard not to invest right now because there's something on the horizon that is that needs to be fixed. So,
well, for one thing, the NSA has their hooks into the encryption algorithms.
Not good. Until the NSA is cleaned up.
Right, that's it. I mean, you know, the Bitcoin bugs love to think that Bitcoin is, you know, why would our government, you know, be behind Bitcoin if, you know, it's going to bust their paradigm? Well, it's controlled opposition, as always. You know, the government's, you know, involved in Google and Facebook and everything else to manage and control those technologies and use them for their purposes. And the same thing with Bitcoin. The NSA has been involved in the encryption algorithms used with Bitcoin, and SSL and TLS encryption methodologies in general, so that they can have their backdoor and track and trace things. And of course, Bitcoin and the blockchain technology in general is very, very trackable, because the blockchain, which is the code for all of the transactions that are done within the cryptocurrency model, that blockchain contains all of the information of all of the transactions, and it most definitely can be traced. Historically, you know, Bitcoin was used for a lot of, let's say, illegal transactions or transactions that powers that be didn't want occurring, and so and a lot of people got away with it, and so a lot of people think that it's secure. But as the game unfolds, we're seeing that increasingly there's evidence that the NSA has their hooks in it, particularly in Bitcoin.
We can be pretty sure that anything that has the history of how it was developed, which you just explained, the blockchain and everything, it's impossible to be secure. I mean, you just can't do it if there are. I heard there's like four major players in Bitcoin. I mean, I don't know if you've heard the same thing, but there's as long as there is not the true spread of things throughout a population, if certain players are controlling it, then it can be manipulated.
Well, right, and this has already occurred. I know that in Cyprus, for example, an old girlfriend of mine lived in Cyprus, and you know, their banking system was collapsed a few years ago by the United States government because Russia and China and an alliance of about 140 nations are working behind the scenes to create, to make the Chinese Renminbi currency become the world's reserve currency, which is the currency
right.
of the country.
The bloc nations, right.
Right. That's the currency that countries use to do business between each other. And historically, since World War II, it's been the U.S. dollar, and particularly the petrodollar involved in you know, oil trading. But this alliance of nations is tired of the United States dictating world politics, and so they're seeking to take our power away by removing the U.S. petrodollar as the world's reserve currency. And so there's been all these battles going on behind the scenes over that, and one of them involved the Cyprus banking system, because like 90% of Russia's foreign trade money was going through Cypriot banks, and particularly a lot of illegal mafia money. And so the U.S. collapsed their banking system, manipulated and collapsed it to hurt the Russians and retaliate against them for being involved in the BRICS alliance. And so my girlfriend told me that, you know, what happened was the banks closed with no notice. And within 24 hours, the banking machines were emptied out of cash. And then, you know, people had no way of doing business. So they started jumping on Bitcoin and using Bitcoin. And apparently the U.S. government saw that. And they found some way of leveraging and manipulating the Bitcoin market, I think, to make the Bitcoins too expensive for people to afford. But anyway, however the manipulation occurred, people were not able to use Bitcoin effectively as an alternative currency. And so I think probably
the point is that everything can be controlled if you understand the system and have the desire to hurt people or hurt certain groups of people. Yeah.
And it goes back to this concept that consciousness creates reality. If you truly get that consciousness creates reality, then there is no encryption or secret messaging or whatever that you can create that can't be busted. However, if you allow people to consciously create their realities and stop manipulating their realities, and then you have prosperity and equality and those kinds of things for everybody, then there's no reason to have all this control and manipulation, and people will act. People always act in their own self-interest and their own benefits. But if their self-interest happen to benefit the rest of humanity, then the whole paradigm changes. Right now, humanity has been mind-controlled for thousands of years into this fear-based belief system, and so most everybody is operating unconsciously and having their realities crafted for them and operating out of fear. And the moment that changes, which is the biggest fear for the powers that be, when people are no longer able to be controlled and manipulated in that way, then the gig is up, and we'll have massive prosperity. And it's coming.
Yep. I think it is coming. I think it's coming this year. Hopefully all of the cleanup, the draining of the swamp that Trump promised, the cleanup will continue, and that people like you and I will be safer because of that cleanup. And,
I think so.
Go into this new world.
There's a guy named Simon Parkes, who is was a British politician, and he has connections with the CIA and NSA and MI6, and also has an ET contact. And he's been saying that all of these pedophile exposures and sexual impropriety that's being exposed, he said that's just the tip of the iceberg. He said you're going to see large numbers of U.S. congressmen, for example, being arrested for pedophilia and sex crimes. And so when you start seeing a third of Congress taken away for those kinds of things, then that's going to shatter a lot of people's realities.
I looked at something on the Internet about all of the CEOs and politicians that have resigned or retired early, and it's quite a list. And I'm sure it's going to grow even more. So also know that it's not just the arrest. Some people are making deals. So if the CEOs of these big companies are stepping down, that you can be pretty sure that they were given a choice either to step down or to be arrested. So that's the other thing you need to look for. It's not just the arrest, because the arrests are a certain portion of it, but there are many, many deals being made with the powers that be. The powers that be are not just a few people. I mean, it's probably, like you say, a third of government, and a third of at least a third of industry, especially the top level Fortune 500 companies.
Uplifted to see that Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, is stepping down.
That's one example.
He cited publicly, he said it was because of something that the press, I forget how he phrased it, basically something that the press had dug up on him. And so he said it had something to do with his personal life. And so I suspect, that they've got dirt on him.
And he did the deal, stepped down, and then hopefully whoever takes over Google will not be an agent for the CIA like we believe that they are now. So
exactly.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. It's been a great interview as usual, and I would encourage people to go back into the archives. You can do that at plasticos.com under resources and radio, because Ken is always a wealth of information, and we've covered a lot of things in this interview we've not covered in other interviews. And I want to thank you again for coming on, and would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. My main website is freshandalive.com. My blog is freshandaliveblog.com. I'm on Facebook. And I've also got a YouTube channel with a lot of videos where I talk about all kinds of esoteric stuff. So you can just go on YouTube and search on Fresh and Alive.
Yeah. And I just want to say, Ken is the inventor of the Rest Shield, which I think all of you need to take a look at. It's been a big help to me personally. and a lot of my patients as well. Thanks so much, Ken, for being on, and this is Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.